Welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series. Coming to you from Hazelnut Middle School, I'll be your host, Dave Trumbore. What I'm doing in middle school, I have no idea. Don't call the cops. Joining me, as always, he's Sean, too cool for 7th grade, Ellis. What's up, buddy?
David, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, doing just fine. And completing the trio tonight, it's Matt, one in a million, Baron. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing very well myself, David.
All right, good to hear. Yeah, those little nicknames I gave out, I didn't have some, like, ridiculous ones to give you guys tonight, just because this show, it wasn't exactly ridiculous. Not in the ways that we're used to, anyway. It was pretty decent, and they had a lot of fun.
I'm going to venture to say that this show was incredibly grounded, as opposed to a lot of the shows that we have watched in previous episodes.
No, very, very different from anything we've watched before, I think. I think that goes without saying. Sean's actually going to walk us through, well, he's going to introduce the show that we're talking about, and he's going to walk us through some history.
We are going to be discussing I don't know. I have very fond memories of this show, so I'm rather nostalgic. I watched a lot of Pepper Ann, so we're going to be talking about Disney's Pepper Ann. This was an animated show by Sue Rose. It aired on ABC. It ran from September of 1997 until November of 2000. Interestingly enough, a lot of the episodes that they have of this were in like the 10 to like 11 minute range. So if you watched one 30 minute episode that they had blocked, you were going to get about maybe two episodes. They did have a couple episodes that spanned like the full 30 minutes or like the 22 minute block that was allotted, you know, for commercials and everything else. But this was a Disney Saturday morning block. And the character originated from a comic strip that was published in YM magazine.
Yeah, I don't remember this one too much, but you have fond memories of it. Yeah,
I do. I watched a lot of like Disney cartoons like during this time, and it was very. So I haven't watched the show since I probably watched it sometime during like the 97 to like 2000 era. I'm sure that it was in reruns after that. I'm positive that I watched them then. I just remember having very fond memories of watching this show, and it was a lot of fun. There are a ton of notable voice actors that are in this show. It is crazy.
It is pretty nuts.
How many people, I mean, I guess sometimes this is the power of Disney, you know?
Definitely.
We recently have watched a show that came out in 1980, which was Thundar the Barbarian. And so that was sort of the earliest show to date that we've watched on this podcast. This would probably be the latest show that we've watched.
Other than Liberty's Kids, which I think was in the 2000s, but that was kind of a one-off. Yeah. We won't be doing that again.
Some of the people who were voice actors on this, Danny Cooksey, who a lot of people are like, I have no idea who Danny Cooksey is. He was on Different Strokes.
Yeah.
He was the redheaded character. He was the redheaded Caucasian kid that was on Different Strokes.
Couldn't miss him.
Much like you, Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except the and being I, on know, Different Strokes I, part.
I,
yeah.
I will absolutely say that, and he was Sam McKinney on Different Strokes. I think that kind of, I want to say that I watched a lot of this with my sister, like after school or like on Saturdays. And I think why it resonated was that probably to this point, I had not seen like a redheaded character that was maybe like a lead.
I had a feeling this was part of it, if not the major reason.
And so there was a good part of it that I was just like, I easily identify with this because my sister and I are both redheads.
Yeah.
And so aside from Danny Cooksey, Pam Alden is on this show. And I don't know if you know who Pam Alden is. I love Pam Alden. She was on Lucky Louie that was on HBO. She was on just so much. She's on the Louie that's on FXX. She has been on a ton of different stuff. She has kind of like a huskier, deeper women's voice, which is very attractive. And she played the character Moose. Trying to think. Other than that, what was it? Mark played a couple. Played him in a couple episodes.
You're cutting out a little bit. Did you say Mark Hamill or did you say Maurice LaMarche? I wasn't sure who you said. You cut out a little bit.
I said Mark Hamill.
Yeah, he did. But guess what? Both the guys were there, so either one you chose, you would have been correct.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Diedrich Bader, who people would remember, he was on The Drew Carey Show as well as Office Space. He was a character in there. James Avery, yep. Uncle Phil
there
from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Like, just, there are a ton. Brittany Murphy was Tank the Eighth Grader for a couple episodes. Luke Perry was on this show. There's so many different people. Alex Trebek played himself. So, I mean, they managed to get a lot of, like, really interesting, noteworthy people to be voice actors.
And yeah, they got a lot of celebrities to kind of do, like, yeah, the cameo voices, sort of the voice themselves. Also, for the people that know, kind of like, well, also Don Adams. I had to mention Don Adams, the original, Maxwell Smart from Get Smart. And he's the principal in this one. And you can definitely, like, if you spent any time watching Get Smart, as soon as the principal comes on screen and talks for the first time, you're just like, Don Adams, 100%. It's really easy to pick out because he doesn't, like, disguise it. He doesn't do, like, a voice. He just does his voice. But, yeah, as far as other people that you might recognize, just their names from voice acting, there's Kath Soucy, who did a lot of the Nicktoons. I think she did a lot of the Rugrats and things like that. Jim Cummings is huge. He does so many different voices on so many different things. Tara Strong, same thing with her. She just has a huge repertoire of different voices. And Rob Paulsen, who we've talked about before, too. So,
Rob Paulsen.
Yeah, good old Rob Paulsen.
His name is Robert Paulsen.
It sure is, and forever will be.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So I also want to talk about, I just want to name drop, since we're doing that, a couple of the actual writers of some of these shows. Some of them, you know, they were, like, uncredited through the series because they were just starting their careers, or they only did, like, one episode or so. Nanochka Khan. She's known for American Dad and creating Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. It's interesting that she got kind of her start with the Disney animation side of things. It's a weird start.
I'm going to say right now,
yeah,
based on the three shows that she's worked on, that's a hat trick. She's had a winning career in my mind.
Winning career. You can retire, Ms. Khan. Scott M. Gimple, which people probably, it's not really a household name, but he's the current showrunner of AMC's The Walking Dead. So, yeah, your career can go many and varied places, from Pepper Ann Disney cartoon to showrunner of The Walking Dead. And also someone who most people probably know, Mo Rocca, apparently wrote for the show.
I was
going to
say, thank you, yeah.
That's a weird one.
If anybody is unfamiliar with him, he was a Daily Show correspondent with Jon Stewart.
Yeah, exactly. So that's pretty much it, I think, as far as the background. We're going to get into the show, Pepper Ann, a little bit. Baron is going to walk us through just exactly what the show is about.
Yeah, so the show centers on a particular character, Pepper Ann Pearson, who is a 12-year-old girl whose emotions basically come to life in fantasies, which was kind of weird when I was watching it. I have to say it was a little disjointed, but basically the show's plots were generally typical of, you know, somebody who's coming of age, and, you know, Pepper Ann is presented with, you know, basically dilemmas, you know, ethical, moral, and she just, you know, figures it out.
Yeah, they had this kind of like gag too for most of the episodes. You know how the Simpsons have the couch gag at the beginning of their billion episodes. I don't even know how many they've done by now.
Yes.
Yeah. So Pepper Ann has a similar one. In the first season, I think she always finds like a $5 bill or $5 under her desk. I guess as they went forward, they came up with different things for her to find. Did you guys watch any episodes where she found something other than a $5 bill? I only saw that.
Out of the three episodes that I watched, I did not see a single $5 bill.
Oh, okay. So I saw that. I saw the original. She's just like, oh, hey, $5. And that's it. So I don't know what you guys saw, but she got $5.
No, I did not notice.
Good
that.
Times there. Are you feeling up for, I don't know, a little bit? Do you want like a shortened version of the Pepper Ann theme song? I was sending Sean some lyrics offline because I was making fun
of the show. I would love to read through. So,
oh yes, please give us that.
So the theme song goes, "Who's that girl? What's her name? Is she cool? Is she lame? Oh, you're talking about what's her name? Pepper Ann.
Now, can I stop you right there? Because I want to give the listeners. Okay, so Sean is doing just a very straightforward reading, a very scholarly application of this theme song, which is very much appreciated. What would you describe the tone of this music? This late '90s kind of like pop punk. How would you describe it? What band would you say jumps to mind when you hear this?
I think Save Ferris jumped into my mind.
I don't know that one, I'll go with that.
Minus like the horn section of Save Ferris. Like it was kind of was very joyful.
So it was like ska kind of minus the horns.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. Ska minus the horns. But yeah, it was just kind of like, it wasn't like aggressive, but it was just, yeah, it was very energetic and just very, it was a little, there's a little bit of, not screaming, I don't even know how to describe the vocals of this, but.
Well, because is she cool, or who's that girl, what's her name, is she cool, is she lame, oh, you're talking about, what's her name, Pepper Ann, like, so it was kind of punchy, like, with her.
Yeah, it was definitely punchy and, like, punched up and energetic, but yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, continue. I just wanted to give people a tone of how to listen to this. Yeah.
I was really hoping that they would have gone with a red pepper theme because, you know, when I think of red pepper, I think of spicy and, like, you know, because she has red hair. But, yeah, I guess not.
Yeah, no McCormick's tie-ins. Missed out on that one. Golden opportunity for the spice tie-ins, and they missed out. Yeah.
No Lowry's seasoning salt
no,
tie-ins.
No product placement. God. No. Oh, well.
Yeah, great.
Is she lame? Is she cool? Is she breaking every rule? Is she anybody's fool? Pepper Ann. Pepper Ann, Pepper Ann, marching in her own parade. Pepper Ann, she's like one in a million. Pepper Ann, Pepper Ann, too cool for seventh grade. Much too cool for seventh grade. Catch her if you can, Pepper Ann. I want to stop at this point. I almost want to stop at this point and just be like, if you don't know the name of this show,
you have not been paying attention.
The theme song, you would be like, you are clearly doing something else. Like, they really kind of hit it over the head with this. But I mean, it's fine. I mean, it's a theme song, and kind of, I guess, going with the idea that, you know, I had postulated in our last episode, like this theme song, for me, really fulfilled its promises that it was going to make to the viewer.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, because they just introduce, like, the main character, they say her name 1,000 times, and then
right.
as this is going on,
well, I mean,
yeah.
Well, not just that, like, I mean, like, it goes with the idea, like, for these theme songs, like, if this theme song is sort of like a promise to the viewer of things to come, they do a really good job with kind of bringing back a lot of these themes, because there are a lot of times where Pepper Ann, you know, she feels out of place, like she feels out of sorts.
Definitely.
And it's really dealing and kind of struggling with a lot of those conflicting feelings that she might have or that she does have during the show. And so I really think the one that was like when I listened to the theme song and when I read the lyrics to it, the one thing that really kind of like struck me was the marching in her own parade. Yeah. And like that to me was like Pepper Ann, like through and through, like she was wildly independent. Like she was very happy to go off and like do her own thing. And there were just a lot of times where, you know, she just, I don't know, she was conflicted with certain things, but she took it upon herself to be like, what is the actual problem that's going on here? Let me figure out what's going on with me, and let me be honest with myself.
I also just like the fact, too, that not even like the lyrics of the theme song, excuse me, but also just what they're showing on screen at this time. Matt mentioned before in the synopsis that Pepper Ann kind of like, she visualizes her problems as these kind of like fantasy things that play out. So the theme song does this all the way, more or less all the way through. Like she starts off as sort of this like super strong and powerful looking, just kind of like Amazonian warrior, like facing down this like tribe. And you're just kind of like, what? Because there's like this pop punky kind of like theme song going on and they're saying her name over and over again. And you're just kind of like, well, what is this? And then they change animation styles even throughout the intro too, which I thought was kind of cool because they have a lot of imaginative play with the animation style, the music, and how she kind of like interprets things. And I like that, and I thought it, like, to Sean's point, that played in very well with the rest of the series too.
Like, let me ask, like, did either of you guys watch the Disney show Lizzie McGuire?
Nope.
I did not. Yeah.
No?
That's a big no.
No.
No? Okay, great.
No.
But Lizzie I am aware McGuire, of it. Yeah.
Okay, sure. Lizzie McGuire. Sean. Lizzie McGuire, yes.
No. I didn't watch it.
Matt didn't watch it. I didn't watch it either. But Matt also didn't watch it. Yeah.
So Lizzie McGuire had a lot of moments in the show where the titular character would kind of like ponder what she was going to do next. And those specific interstitials were done, or those like kind of apologias, like internal conflicts that she was having, were done not in a live action sense, but they were done like as an animated character. There was like this cartoon character of Lizzie that would kind of like, this was Hilary Duff, that would kind of like figure out exactly what she was doing. And then she would kind of ponder that idea back and forth and then come up to like come to some conclusion or some idea. And then she'd kind of move forward with that. This, to me, rewatching Pepper Ann felt like just the straight animated version of Lizzie McGuire. Like, instead of having those like interstitials that were cartoons, this was like the original.
Yeah, cartoons having cartoon.
Pepper Ann was the original Lizzie McGuire. Instead of just like going off into these like specific cartoon interstitials, it just continually allowed Pepper Ann to kind of evolve into these really fun kind of like fantasies that she had about what was going on with her life, what was the conflict.
Yeah.
And then she kind of battled those things out within her fantasy.
Yeah, I think a good point, since you're comparing it to like live action.
Okay, Sean,
shows,
let me.
Matt and I were talking about, well, Matt, we can talk about this because you and I were talking offline about like other shows that this reminded you of. And you came up with a good one. I think we combined a couple.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, what do you think of it relating to Doug?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, the animation style is super similar. And the two things I pointed out to Dave offline were. The animation style, in particular, the hair and also the like facial structure, you know, that kind of like rounded jaw, you know, and then also, you know, just basically like the like general background style. I mean, it's very like Doug funny centric.
Yeah. And like the clothes and stuff, too, kind of like the ballooned out, the big baggy clothes. Yes, it was part of the fashion and the style at the time in the 90s, but also just as like a drawing style, like everything is very just kind of like billowed out and very similar. I said I wonder, that and then. Yeah, go ahead.
I wonder if Pepper Inn was sponsored by Janko Jeans.
Janko Jeans with the chain. Yeah, absolutely. Janko Jeans.
Oh,
bringing it back. Pepper Inn and Janko Jeans together again. The other one that I said was similar. I was thinking Hey Arnold, just because of the character itself. Like Doug, I don't remember that well, but I don't think Doug got quite as neurotic as Pepper Ann does. But Arnold definitely did, if I remember correctly. He had some of these like weird fantasies too, that he would kind of like just daydream stuff, and he would be a different character.
Yeah.
He would be in different places. So Hey Arnold was sort of like the male version of Pepper Ann. I could see that.
Well, okay. Also, Dave, I mean, it's totally right that you say that because, you know, in Doug, he used to fantasize a lot.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I mean, one of the things that comes to mind is, you remember the band Beats?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love the Beats.
So he used to like, there's like one episode where him and Skeeter like record a track and, you know, 80% of that episode is Doug fantasizing about being famous. So there was a lot of fantasizing in that show, as I remember. But, you know, at the same time, in a lot of the other episodes, it was maybe like 10 or 15%. It was kind of like a daydream thing versus like, you know, the crux of the show.
I'm going to put you guys on the spot. Can you remember any of the songs and the lyrics from the Beats?
Banging on a trash can.
Oh, nice.
Killer Tofu.
Killer Tofu is so good. E-I-E.
Well, Doug's song was banging on a trash can, strumming on a street.
Yeah,
light.
That was Doug's song, though, right? That was his like his own song that he wrote.
I think Killer Tofu. Killer Tofu is the only song that I remember.
Killer Tofu is so good.
So,
oh, and just as a dear listeners, we're not just teasing and talking about Nicktoons just for funsies. We will get to them eventually. We're still kind of working out how we want to tackle that because it's definitely a big block of cartoons. This would be kind of like with Pepper Ann, moving away from the network cartoons that we'd been talking about for weeks upon weeks now and moving into more of the, like the cable cartoons. It's kind of like a shift, a tonal shift, a programming shift. So we want to figure out a way to do that. But, yeah, we'll talk about them. Don't you worry. You settle down out there singing your beat songs.
We are very excited to talk about Nicktoons. This was a big part of all of us growing
definitely,
up.
Definitely, definitely.
So, I mean, I could definitely see Pepper Ann as sort of being like a female Doug, minus the journaling.
Yeah, that's true. It was before blogging, thank God, but definitely minus the journaling. Yeah, almost like Pepper Ann was like a step before Daria. Like, Daria was a little more... a little older, but she definitely had those neuroses too. It was just kind of like an older setting for the MTV crowd, not the Disney crowd. So it was kind of like a, you know, an introductory drug of to Daria. Once you got through Pepper Ann, you go to Daria after that.
It's like, I feel like a lot of Pepper Ann was so whimsical, so hopeful, and so like energetic, and then I feel like Daria was just sort of like,
oh man, it's such a drag.
Understanding what Sar, no, not a drag.
No, but I mean, like Daria. Everything was. It very much came out of the alternative movement.
Was,
so yeah,
but it was understanding like sarcasm.
Yeah, definitely.
And understanding like ironic detachment. And like
I mean,
go ahead, Beth.
Yeah, I was going to say to jump in right there. Like Daria was really kind of. I don't know, maybe not really capitalizing on, but like sort of encapsulizing the MTV crowd.
It absolutely of that was. Year. It was all just, you know, like, I mean, alternative music. It was very much like a Nirvana scene kind of thing.
Exactly. It was very much what exactly. It was. It was the post like popularity of music videos, but a music industry that was moving into something else. And Daria was like kind of a lot more ironic or well, really cynical of the industry.
That's a good way to describe it.
But it just kind of, I mean, it was really, you know, the animation style was exactly the same, but at the same time, like, the message was very similar. Like, Daria was a more cynical version of Pepper. So, you know, different sides of the same coin.
Yeah. But speaking of Pepper, we've talked a little bit about her. You know, she doesn't exist in a vacuum in the show. She's got a lot of people around her, both antagonists and people that help her out. So, let's talk a little bit about some of the other characters. Like, I don't know, is there anybody that spoke to you guys? Anybody that reminded you of somebody you knew growing up? Anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what you just hit on was that there were a lot of people that I knew growing up that reminded me of characters that were in Pepper Ann. Pepper Ann had like two best friends,
right.
Nikki Little and Milo
Camelani, I guess. I don't know if they ever even
Camelani.
Say his name.
Yeah, it was Camelani because I think definitely in the episode that Matt watched, she says Camelani a lot.
Oh, really? Okay. Because they didn't introduce any other names than the one that I watched except for obviously the title character. So.
Oh my gosh. They used Camelani in the Crunchpot episode. They used Camelani all the time.
The skater guy totally reminded me of Skeeter.
Yeah, I could see
that.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, the animation style was the same. The attitude was the same.
Dude, there's a weird moment, though, where, like, whatever outfit he's wearing makes him look like Tummy Gummy from the Gummy Bears. He's wearing, like, the exact same, like, tunic that the Gummy Bears dude was. I was just like, wait a minute. Disney.
Gummy bears bouncing here and there and everywhere, kind of
absolutely.
Thing.
Yeah.
Only. There is no other. But they just, like, co-opted. They, like, took Tummy Gummy's outfit tunic off the rack and put it on this guy for some reason, just because they're like,
sweet and sour cheese.
Oh, boy.
So we should state that Pepper Ann, all right, is 12 years old, as well as also all of her peers.
Right. Ooh, except for the cool 8th grader. That guy's not 12.
He's
much cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everybody is in 7th grade and they all go to Hazelnut Middle School. All right.
Right.
So, you know, you have a lot of very specific tropes that come into those specific students. So,
and the coffee must be great.
Yes. So Milo is sort of like, he is, He's very dramatic. Mm-hmm. He's a big video gamer. I want to say in some of the in one of the episodes that I watched, he was very like steeped in tradition of doing things.
I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Which is very interesting. So there was an episode where Pepper Ann and Milo wanted to go trick-or-treating.
Okay.
And then somebody suggested to Pepper Ann that maybe as a 12-year-old, she's a little bit too old to go trick-or-treating.
Yeah, and that's a common theme throughout these series, throughout the episodes. Yes. Yeah.
And so she kind of went back and forth whether or not she wanted to go trick-or-treating or whether she wanted to just, you know, kind of just ditch that tradition altogether and do something completely different.
Yeah.
But Milo was like really ramped up. He was just like, I love this idea. This is something that I look forward to. Like, I always have a blast. And it was just very fun to kind of see him like, you know, kind of getting excited about something that I think I went trick-or-treating until I was like eighth, maybe ninth grade.
Okay.
And I don't know if that was like a year too long.
I mean, I'm still going. You know, is that weird?
That's not weird at all.
That's not weird.
It's definitely.
I'm 31, guys. Just like Halloween's on the 31st. I figured that's fine. After this,
Dave,
maybe
it's not weird.
Okay.
All right. I mean, here's the thing. I'm jealous of you because for the past 2 years, I have passed out candy at my house, and I think the first year I got 3 kids that came.
I literally got one last year. One kid last year. And it, like, and even his brother was with him, and his brother was just like, meh, he didn't want to walk up the steps to get this giant bowl of candy that no one else had touched. Piss me off. And then I got diabetes because I ate all the candy after that. So
I ate all the candy.
Thanks, kids. Bunch of dicks.
Well, fun fact, if you have leftover tons and tons of candy, just bring it to work and give it to all your coworkers. Yeah,
exactly.
They will eat it. They will eat at least 3 pounds of candy within one day.
Guess what, kids? That doesn't work when you work from home and are a freelance writer because you will just eat all that candy. So fair warning. Fair warning. Ah, boy.
So
we're at about the halfway mark here. I want to get through a couple more of the just kind of the major characters, the ones that have the biggest roles. And then we'll get to talking about the episodes here.
Yeah. Nikki Little reminded me sort of like somebody who was like a yoga instructor.
Okay, yeah, I could see that. Very just like laid back, yeah.
Very, very calm, very, like, serene.
Yeah.
There was a couple, like, supporting characters that they had. Trinket, she was just sort of, like, the traditional rich girl. You had a very fun foreign exchange student, which reminded me of the foreign exchange student from The Simpsons. Pepper Ann's character was called Dieter Lederhosen. There was an airhead that was just sort of like a goofball named Sissy.
Yeah, there's one that I didn't give you this one on the list because I just saw it on the episode that I watched today, but it was this creepy kid with pink eye, and they just called him Pink Eye, which I loved. Because that reminded me of like the nicknames that you give kids, like your friends or otherwise, in school, because you like see them, you know, something happens to them one day, they have pink eye, or they have like cauliflower ear or something crazy, and you just always remember them from that. It's like we just boil them down to like that one specific thing, and it sticks with them. It's yeah. So weird.
Dave, how long were you known as Pink Eye?
I was known as Cauliflower Eye because I had pink eye and cauliflower ear. No, I never had either.
Is that possible?
No, I mean I'm sure it's possible to have both, but you have some. I mean, problems.
Dave, like I know you're from Eastern Pennsylvania, but good lord, that's upsetting.
I don't know what that means. God. Do you guys remember Pete and Pete? Do you remember pit stains?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so there you go, like that. Yeah. You know, same
but
kind
there was
of thing
a
like
glandular
that
problem.
It's a glandular problem. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, it's that kind of thing. And honestly, like, everything from Pepper Ann, whether it was the names of the characters, the way they acted, her thoughts, her reactions to things, because she's very, like, hyper-reactive to things. She, like, over-exaggerates the drama of things like, oh, I don't know, getting a pimple before the yearbook photos. But it's exactly what we do as adolescents, you know? It's the exact same thing.
I think that that's what made this show so enjoyable and so relatable is that, like, I was – when this show came out, I think I was 17. Mm-hmm. But there were things that, like, there were issues that they discussed about a 12-year-old that, like, as a 17-year-old, I was just like, oh, no, like, I'm still doing that. Like, it's still shit that happens, like, to this day. Like, and I think that that's what – I think that that – I think that that's what really makes a good cartoon is that It wasn't anything that was like overly exaggerated. No. Like it was.
I mean, it was in the show. In the show, it was. Her reactions are over exaggerated, but it's what people do. You know, it's what we do in our heads. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like, those thoughts and those ideas that we have in our heads and the reactions that we're just like, oh, like when we tell the story later to somebody and we're just like, well, I didn't say that out loud. I just thought that. Like, these, the things that are in this show are the shit that we internalize every day.
Yeah.
And things that, like, we find to be, like, you know, kind of crazy or just very weird or, like, how we react to shit. And that's fine because we're people, and that's how we deal with things. But Pepper Ann was fun, you know, for the sake of the fact that, like, it addressed those things head on and allowed her to react in kind of, like, a crazy, you know, nonsense way to a lot of these situations. And that was a blast to watch.
Yeah, and I think that's a good jumping in point to actually talk about a couple of these episodes. Before we do that, Baron, did you have any, like, were there any characters that jumped out at you one way or the other, either just memorable or reminded you of somebody growing up, anything like that?
You know, really, it was Pepper.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, you know, kind of, you know, in a weird way, reminded me of myself because I was super awkward, you know.
We all were, buddy. I'm pretty sure at least the three of us were super awkward in high school. We're going to dig up some yearbook photos and put them on Tumblr. No, there's no way we're doing that.
Oh, God.
Please don't
do
that. I'll do that.
Sean, damn it, don't do it. Because you can find some of mine on Facebook. Why would I tell you that? Don't do it. Oh, they're so bad.
Thank God none of my photos were on social media
because
that would take this listenership into the basement. Oh, anyway, but
so you identify with Pepper Ann?
Yes.
The end.
Was there anything specific that you identified with Pepper Ann?
You know, really, it was just kind of like, I mean, this is kind of a cop out, but it was a general experience of the cartoon and Pepper, like, in her surroundings. Like, I really kind of had this, like, weird relationship to, like, middle school and high school, especially, where I was, like, you know, fantasizing about certain things, you know, not in a weird way, but...
No, just because you're bored in math class or whatever, and you're just, like, daydreaming about anything else.
So bored.
But I loved math class.
You love meth class?
Okay.
Yeah, did you say meth?
You took meth class? What a great school.
Did you say, what meth class did you take?
It was a progressive environment, goddammit.
Central Pennsylvania has a weird education policy.
Yeah, well, they focus on the end result, so Central Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Right? Am I wrong?
No, meth is still quite strong there.
Yeah. Am I wrong? Am I wrong? No, you're not.
Oh, that brings... Yeah. Hold on. Do we know if there was a drug episode of Pepper Ann? Because I missed it if there was.
There was not.
Oh, come on, Pepper Ann. Perfect opportunity for meth.
And, you know, and here's the thing. I'll allow it because it was Disney.
Yeah, fair. But, I mean, come on. You got that audience.
I mean, to my knowledge, there was not a drug episode. Well, if there was a drug episode, listeners, please prove me wrong.
Let us know.
I will buy
those drugs.
Episode to watch.
Okay.
I'm not buying drugs.
Oh, okay.
Unlike Dave's go do drugs,
I stand by it. I stand by it. Kids, listen to the Brave Star episode if you missed it.
I will say, do not do drugs. Well, just say no. Just keep yourself safe and sane. Yeah. Make good choices.
All right. Let's jump in since there's no, the more you know, there's no drug episode of Pepper Ann. So let's talk about some other episodes. You guys both watched one of the shorter ones. Is that right? I think you both watched like the 10-minute one.
I watched three episodes, 10 or 11 minute episodes.
Okay, cool. You guys can jump into the one that you both watched because I don't know anything about that. So I'm kind of curious to see what you guys watched.
The episode that Matt and I watched was all about, it centered around Pepper and Milo. And the idea was that Milo is this like reigning champion for a video game that is called Crunch Pod. And there's a tournament that is at this local arcade that they are going to. And Pepper is sort of like the cheerleader, kind of like slash coach, she, like hype man. She is really emphatic about Milo continuing his streak of winning this Crunch Pod competition. And so she like wakes him up in the morning, like pushes him into the shower, gets him like ready to go. And then he goes to the arcade, knocks it out of the park. Like, he crushes everybody. Now, they don't really explain, like, how the competition is held or, like, how it's organized or, like, what the specifics of it are. But suffice it to say, like, Milo puts in one quarter and plays for as long as everybody else in the competition is playing.
So he's like a pinball wizard. Yeah.
Pretty much. Like, he continues playing, and, like, other people have put in quarters and have gotten game overs, and they're like, oh, no, I'm out. And so they just kind of, like, all fade into oblivion. And so Milo wins by, like, a landslide. And as a result of, like, winning this high score, he gets a free game. And so as Milo is, like, kind of celebrating the fact in, like, a very casual manner that, like, he won this competition, and as he's offering, like, words of wisdom to the other, like, students and friends that are there, like, Pepper Ann realizes that, like, Milo has won a free game. So Pepper Ann decides to play the free game, and she gets a higher score than Milo. And so that's when really, like, the conflict in that episode begins.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Girls and video games. Controversial stuff. Especially right now, it's actually. Not, I didn't even mean to, like, step in that, not, but holy shit.
It's not controversial stuff.
Well, like, it is right now. I mean, not on Pepper Ann, probably.
Women can, I know. I, the whole, like, girls that play video games thing, like, you should play video games. Like, women who are playing video games are infinitely more attractive
points.
To me.
Points.
Than women. Points. 100. Chris Hardwick. Points in your direction. Mm-hmm. Like, you, like, playing video games, if you want to play it regardless of your gender, go ahead. Video games are fun as hell. That's why they're there.
That's why they're there. It's good times.
It's entertainment. I don't care if you're a man or you're a woman or you identify with some other cisgender. It doesn't fucking matter. Video games are a blast. All right. And I love video games.
Sean says play the video games instead of drugs. I say do both, but I mean, whatever. Either way, play video games is the moral.
Play video. God knows, play video.
It made KOTOR so much relatable.
Oh, no.
Oh, we did love the KOTOR. Oh, I had to play that sober, though, because I had to keep my force strong. So I stayed sober.
You guys.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
We totally grew up from awkward kids, right? We grew up from awkward middle school kids to be awkward college kids.
Absolutely.
You should bring back Pepper Ann in college. Let's see what she's up to in college.
I bet she's playing video games and having a fucking blast.
Dude, she probably is, but I think that'd actually be a cool series to, like, you know, age it up a little bit.
Reboot Pepper Ann?
Yeah, I mean, I bet you she's majoring in women's literature and, third world economics.
Dude, if she's anything like her mom, she's probably, like, a super feminist or something. I just got, like, a weird feminist vibe from her mom. Maybe because she reminded me of my mom? I don't know. That was a little strange. It was a weird.
Oh, you mean Lydia Pearson?
Yes, Lydia Pearson. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Her mother, I thought her mother was endearing.
Yeah, she definitely was. She reminded me of my mom, so of course I'm not going to say anything bad about her.
Yeah.
Hi, Mom, if you're listening. My mom doesn't know what a podcast is, so there's no way she's listening.
Well, good, then I'm going to trash your mom.
Okay,
I think the fun thing about, like, Pepper Ann's mom was that, like, in the three episodes that I watched, like, she called Pepper maybe once, but she always called her Peppy.
Mm. I didn't hear that.
And I thought that was fun because, like, I mean, Pepper Ann really does have kind of, like, this, like, very enthusiastic kind of, like, outspoken attitude. And so, like, I thought it was endearing. I thought it was fun. Like, it didn't seem like Pepper was so super excited.
I would
about
imagine.
It all the
yeah.
time. She was kind of like, Mom. But I mean, it was fun to see, like, her mom have that specific, like, mother-daughter dialogue.
Yeah, they definitely had a good relationship.
I thought that was beautiful. I thought that was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. Was there anything else more from that episode? I know you probably only got partway through it before I derailed to Gamergate, but...
No. So it comes down to a showdown between Pepper and Milo where they're duking it out, playing Crunch Pod. Matt, do you understand how the game Crunch Pod is played? It's like a weird hybrid of, like, two games.
Yeah, I was going to say it's kind of like Pac-Man. Space Invaders.
Yes. Asteroids.
Yeah, I was, like, watching it, and I was like, the shit is going on here? Like, what is the point of this game?
They're like, you gotta crunch it. I'm like, I don't know what that is.
Is that like a sandwich or like what are we doing?
I really want to watch this now.
Is that a bag of sandwiches?
Ooh, hold on. That's what you win. That's what you win if you get a high score. You get a bag of sandwiches.
Yes. So the resolution of the episode is that Nikki actually unplugs both of the arcade games.
That bitch.
And is just like, you two.
Oh, okay. Sorry,
she's
Nikki.
Just like, she's like, you two are best friends and you need to act like best friends.
And that's when Turbo Teen shows up and starts playing the game as a car and beats everyone.
And just oddly humps the machine as a car.
And everyone just clears out because that is an adult situation.
After having a slice of pizza thrown in his face.
Yep, that's the way it works in the real world.
Is it? Because I want to live in that world.
Yeah, let's live in Pizza World. Pizza World.
Dave, you managed to find, and we will say this.
Yeah.
Episodes of Pepper Ann look like they are available on YouTube.
They fake you out.
If you look for episodes of Pepper Ann, it looks like there are tons of episodes. And then you watch them, and because YouTube is in the process of revamping all their copyright laws.
Mm-hmm. Especially with Disney being the owners of this one.
Yes. Yeah. And just how YouTube is moving towards this model where like you can now purchase things on YouTube for viewing. They are restricting all of this copyright content, which is just a pain in the fucking ass. To be able to watch this shit, because like we had to go to Daily Motion to be able to find a bunch of.
You know where I went for this one? I went to frickin' China.
You went to Tudu.
I don't even know what that is. I just know it was
T-U-D-O-U
covered in Chinese characters. Yeah.
TUDOU.com has a couple episodes, and so does Daily Motion. But they are sadly few and far between.
And I couldn't find them on Amazon either. We usually try to give you guys links, to seasons, A, so that you can help us fund the podcast, and B, so that you can actually access the seasons on DVD if you want
I went on Disney XD to try to buy and find some episodes that were on there. Nothing. No. Like, Disney Kids has nothing. Like, this is a really challenging show to find, but it's I don't know. I wish that they would release it on DVD. The only thing that I found that was on Amazon was a novel version of a Pepper Ann episode.
It was really strange. Was it like the camping one? There was one like camping thing too.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that was. It was really odd.
I was like, I guess I'll buy it and then
and then return it. Yeah.
No? Okay.
But see, this is what we do for you, dear listeners. We ferret this stuff out, and currently there are a team of Chinese hackers just destroying my computer from the inside out, unwinding my entire life for you. So that's fine. I watched Pepper Ann's first episode called Zitterella. I didn't really know what to expect with this one. I did get a heavy...
Really? You didn't know what to expect from an episode called Zitterella?
Let me rephrase. I knew what to expect as far as the plot... goes. I didn't know what to expect as far as my reaction to it. Like, was I going to like it? Because I'd never watched the show. I wasn't even really that familiar with it. Just kind of like tangentially maybe familiar with it from, 15 years ago. But I'd never watched it, so it was kind of cool. It was a refreshing thing where it was kind of like just go into it neutral and see how you come out of it. I really enjoyed it, actually. This one's, it's tough to talk about because normally when we talk about these shows, we just make fun of them, all the stupid shit that they do, stuff that doesn't make any sense. Things that are just like so bizarre or so like just amateur hour. This was actually really well done. It was very much like we said, Doug and Hey Arnold. It was in the vein of those. So if you like those shows, you should check this one out. The long and short of Zitterella, as you can probably guess, it's the day before yearbook photos at Hazelnut Middle School, and Pepper Ann gets a zit right in the middle of her forehead. I love the way that they handled this because they show like this little red dot like at the bridge of her nose, and she freaks out over it. So you see it from her perspective, where she turns into, like, her entire body turns into this, like, molten volcano pit of a zit. And she's just, like mush on the side, and she's, like, still talking to her friends. And they're like, it's really not that bad, we can't even see it. And I just loved that. It's very subtle. Wow, maybe subtle's the wrong word. When she's a giant fucking molten zit sitting on the side of the road. But the way that they show how, like, the adolescent mind over exaggerates and really hypes up the drama on things that aren't really that big of a deal once you've lived through them, it was just perfect. And they do that in a number of ways. Like, at one point, she gets made fun of because she goes to this kind of like rundown mall that nobody shops at, And only freaks and geezers, that's a quote from the show, only freaks and geezers shop at this mall. It's called Abe's Mall, but they call it the Abyss Mall, which, again, I thought was pretty clever.
Fun. Very fun stuff.
And they bring in Abe Lincoln as, like, he's like this giant statue that stands outside the mall and is just pointing at the mall entrance. It's a hilarious just scene, just to picture it, because everybody's got that, like, hometown mall that's, like, run down, and there's just, like, weird... like mall walkers that just like walk the perimeter of the mall early in the morning and just crazy stuff like that.
Harrisburg East Mall, y'all.
Exactly. Mm. Palmer Park Mall in Eastern Pennsylvania.
Or York County Galleria.
See? Yeah. Oh, the Galleria. Yeah. Everybody's
not
Galleria.
Even a mall. Galleria.
Get
these
at
are
it.
All abysmals.
Yeah.
They're so bad.
Abysmal. Dude. I love it.
It's funny, though. Like, they had... okay, so there were just, like, these weird little, like, bits of dialogue. They had a lot of fun. It was actually fairly clever writing. Now, if you remember the writers we talked about at the beginning, you can kind of understand the culture of the writing that they brought into this show. They had funny store names like John Wilkes Photo Booth, which was a little dark, but at the same time, pretty hilarious. And then right across from that was the Emancipation Bargain Station, which I just thought was hysterical.
Christ on his throne.
And it was so good.
Awful.
Yeah. And there was
God,
there
this were, is so good.
So good. And there were a couple more that I couldn't quite catch. But like that level. So it wasn't like the plot or even the characters that made me laugh all that much. It was these weird little side things that they would just throw in, not for no reason, but like extraneous stuff. Like at one point, she's in the mall. And she's like, man, only freaks and geezers shop here. And this, like, super creepy dude in the background just walks by, and he's just like, but I shop here, too. And he just, like, walks off screen, and you never see him again.
Oh, a creeper.
Nobody knows who he is. It's great. Yeah. So there's a lot of cool stuff like that they play with. And she has, like, again, her daydreams and the fantasy reactions and stuff are, like, hyper-exaggerated. You also get introduced to a lot of the other characters, maybe not by name, but just by kind of like what they do and their personality. So her mom, her aunt, her little cousin, Moose, I think is her cousin, and definitely her friends too. So you get to see kind of everybody. I mean, they do a lot of cool stuff like, I don't know, that one was just a fun one to watch. There's a lot of
actually,
tropes. The principal
Moose,
was really
Moose,
good too.
Moose was her...
was that her little sister?
Sister. It was okay. Her sister. That's her younger sister. Yeah. Youngest sister.
And she's introduced by like just being crazy on a skateboard and just like flying all around, but... yeah, the other supporting cast of characters are really good, too. Like I said, the principal is pretty funny. At one point, it's weird. The dialogue borders between the very childish and also the somewhat adult and kind of, like, surprising when that happens. It kind of, like, takes you by surprise a little bit because you're not expecting it. At one point, like, she feels like the whole world is just falling down around her, and she just, like, collapses into herself and just says, my life is trash, and they just cut away. And I was just like, wow, that is... that's a little harsh, Pepper, and it's the first episode. You gotta settle down a little bit. But I really enjoyed it. I would recommend watching that first episode, only to just get like an idea of the show. And it's a 22-minute one, so you can see what it's like throughout the, you know, when they get a full 22 minutes to work the plot out before they got cut down to 10. Yeah. Anything else
from
you guys on the show? The other shows? Yeah, other episodes.
I watched two other episodes. One that was about Halloween that I mentioned.
Right.
It was sort of like the. The conflict was whether or not she's too old
right.
to go trick-or-treating. The third episode that I watched was called Old Best Friend.
Okay.
And so she makes this best friend at – so we all know that there's like brownies, you know, in Girl Scouts. In Pepper Ann's universe, there is something that's called like Cubby Scouts.
Okay.
Which is like bears.
Okay.
And so – she had befriended this this girl at Cubby Camp, and this girl was moving to town, and she was very excited at the prospect of like reconnecting. And she was just like, you know, she was telling Milo and Nikki, she's just like, you know, we had such a great time, and we did all these like fun things, and like this was awesome, and like neither of you were there. But, like, we bonded over this experience. And we promised that, like, you know, we would keep in touch and we'd do all these things. Like, did either of you go to camp?
No, I really wish I would have. But no, I never did.
Baron, did you go to camp?
Yeah, I served as a counselor at a Boy Scout camp for 4 months straight. Moved to
the
tent. So
that's
yeah.
a mistake.
Yeah. You're damn right it was.
I went to camp as a camper for a week, and it
explains so much.
It does. It not only does it explain so much about my outlook on life, but it also explains why I am very skeptical or reserved around other people.
Hey, and, hey, Sean. Hey.
Yes.
If you don't eat when we tell you to eat, you're gonna die.
No, I. God. I went to a camp in Pennsylvania that was called Camp Shikellamy. This camp closed down the year after I went there for problems with their with like whoever came in for like camps and assessed like what their food sanitation issue was.
Yeah.
They closed down for that reason. And I distinctly remember that at one point they had served us chicken one night where the skin of the chicken breast was purple.
Oh.
And because we affectionately called it purple chicken.
Yeah.
It was probably one of the grossest things I've ever eaten. I have no idea how I managed to live and kind of, well, I mean, it's easy to live beyond food poisoning. Everybody's done it. So,
Sean, little known
strength
fact.
And honor, Sean.
Yeah, Sean actually went to Camp Krusty. That was the other name of this.
Yeah, I went to Camp Krusty.
Yeah, Camp Krusty.
So, but, you know, what happens is that her friend from camp moves, like, into her neighborhood. She reconnects with this friend, and then she realizes, like, oh, shit. I really don't have, like, beyond our camp friendship, like, I really have no interest in being friends with this person.
Exactly. I'll see you in the summer for a week, and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, like, it was interesting to see, like, how she kind of dealt with it. Because, again, like, ultimately, like, I wouldn't say the conflict, but, like, like, everything came to a head when she realized and kind of had one of those, like, fantasies where she's like, I just need to be honest with her and tell her that I don't want
to
hang out with her.
Yeah,
and
very
every
adult
time that she
way
was,
to handle it. Yeah,
every time, right? And every time she was confronted with like the idea of like now is an opportune time to be able to to tell her how I feel and say that like I don't want to be friends with her. She's like, oh, like she took the polite road where she's like, oh no, I'd love to hang out. Why don't you sleep over? Why don't you stay for dinner? Like, ooh. Like, it just, she progressively made it worse for herself by not being honest.
Yeah. And that's another thing that I think everybody can kind of relate to, too. I think that's just like a very common experience. But we're coming up on about an hour, so I want to make sure that we can get a chance to say whether or not we recommend this. Then we'll have to move on to some plugs and conclude this here episode, unfortunately.
Dave, are you recommending this?
Absolutely. Yeah. How about you guys?
I absolutely recommend this. I mean, it's classic Saturday morning cartoons.
I definitely recommend this as well. I think for something that has like a strong female lead, that has a very relatable storyline regarding antics that would occur in middle school, I think that there were a lot of things that resonated with me even today. And I was like, this was a lot of fun to catch up. My only wish was that there were more episodes that were available to purchase and to be able to watch.
Yeah, that's the tough part is actually finding them. But it's weird making the recommendation because it's like, it's just a good show. Like if you watched, Doug and Hey Arnold and liked those, I would definitely seek this one out. It's just, I don't recommend it for the same reason I recommend the other stuff, because it's batshit. I recommend it because it's good. So it's a little different. We're going to move on to some plugs now. So I'm gonna let Sean, if you're ready, let people know where they can catch you and what you got coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Sure. I am going to be performing in Washington, D.C. on October 17th, 24th, and the 31st. All the shows are at 7:30. I'll be performing improv with a group called Nox. That's N-O-X exclamation point. We're going to be doing a Halloween-themed show, which this show is going to be completely performed in the dark.
Spooky.
So we're going to be performing at the DC Arts Center, and you can find tickets that are available at WashingtonImprovTheater.com.
Excellent. Matt, do you have anything coming up for the folks?
I have literally nothing going on.
Hey, you know what you got coming up right now? I'm going to give you a little bit of time to think about it because I forgot to tell you ahead of time. You got the next pick Mbare for episode 23.
No snap.
Yeah, so you better think about that while I do my plugs here. Get to researching.
I will tweet it. I actually recently spent a little time in Twitter headquarters this week, yeah. And I will tell you it is beautiful and immaculate, and I will disappoint all the people that work there by picking next week.
Okay, wait, by picking next week? You're going to tweet about it through Bag of Sandwiches?
Only after the fact.
Only after the fact, okay. All right. Well, while you think about that one and let people know what we're
doing. Dave, what are you doing?
Oh, Sean, thank you so much for asking. I'm so glad that somebody asked me a question. so we talked about.
All right, well, moving right along.
Oh, man. That's only fair because I do it to you guys all the time. That's only fair. Oh, boy. Yeah, so we talked about a lot of the cool and well known voice actors. I don't know why I said cool. We talked a lot about these voice actors that were on this show. A lot of famous ones, people, guys and gals, have been doing it for decades now. I just came across a voice acting documentary by producer, director, voice actor John DiMaggio, which you may not know his name, but you definitely know his voice.
Oh, definitely know.
Yeah. Why don't you tell the folks at least one of the characters that he does? You know.
He does Bender.
Yeah, he does Bender. He does Bender from Futurama. He inserts girders. Hey, guess who else he does, Adventure Time fans?
He does Jake. Yeah,
Jake the dog. So there you go. Those are two very well-known characters that he does. He was actually, I got to see him, I think it was 2 years ago now at Comic-Con. It was just kind of this, I was in a side room, a smaller room, waiting for something else, and there just happened to be this presentation called I Know That Voice. It was John DiMaggio, and he was saying that they were more or less doing like a Kickstarter thing. He did a documentary with a bunch of different voice actors, and I mean, like, you recognize everybody in this. You either recognize the voice and their characters, or you recognize the person themselves. And it was awesome, because they really do go behind the scenes. They show how much fun it is, but also how much work goes into it, and how difficult it's become to break into that industry. Because all the celebrities now, you know, they've kind of like broken into it too, and they've kind of pushed the traditional voice actors a little bit to the side. It's very, very cool. It's a lot of fun to watch, especially if you're into the voice acting in cartoons, which, if you're listening to us, hopefully you are. It's called I Know That Voice, and you can check it out on Netflix for the price of free. Definitely do that, too, because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
As for me, I've got some TV reviews that have been going on.
David, yeah. David, are you blogging about television?
Teleblogging. That's the new thing.
Do tell.
These days. Man, if you guys like, I don't know, Gotham, The Flash.
Love it.
Arrow.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Like The Walking Dead, if you've heard of that. I don't know if you guys have heard of that. Small show.
I actually stopped watching that one.
Whoa, you should definitely come back, because this season premiere was fucking awesome. Oh, and Constantine, okay, which right. is coming up next
Can't
week.
Can't wait.
Next week. I review all those over at Collider.com, so you definitely come pay me a visit, do a little search, and you can see them on that website. That's all I got. Baron, we're going to go back to you real quick, and we're just going to check in on you. You're just going to tease people a little bit. Do you have a pick yet? Don't say it yet. Don't say it yet.
You know, I don't have a pick yet, but I'm going to tweet it in, like, maybe a day or two. But
a day or two? What is this? I mean, a day or two? Jeez. So you're not going to tell us what we're watching
you're
either?
Killing, you're
a
killing
day or
me,
two?
Buddy.
We have a list. Listeners, we have a list of roughly 80 cartoon series that we're going to be watching over the next God knows how many weeks. A day or two? I'll give you another minute or two while I run down some contact info. If you're interested in learning more about us, you can head over to SaturdayMorningCartoons.com. Remember, that's morning with a U, because you complete me. Yeah.
Oh, that is so good.
I'm still working on that.
Oh God, that is just
because I've been trying to pull up like random 90s you statements. So you complete us. I guess you could say you complete us. Yeah, Saturday morning cartoons. You can also check out Sean's handiwork at our Tumblr page at SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com. Yeah, Baron, what you got? Okay. Twitter, you can follow us at Morning Tunes, where Baron may or may not reveal what we're going to be watching in the next week or so.
You know, hey, you know what we're going to watch while Sean fake cries into his phone?
Yeah. Oh my God!
We're going to watch Aeon Flux.
Is that your serious pick? Is that your actual pick? You jumping the gun?
That's my real actual pick.
You know, I'm glad that you picked that because, yeah, and this is my little aside, when we started talking about Daria and, like, the MTV cartoons, I started remembering, like,
Liquid Television,
like the Max, Aeon Flux. What was Alexander? That came on a little later.
The Head.
And The Head? Yeah, exactly. Don't worry, kids. We are going to talk about those because that is a whole nother trippy
wing
of cartoons. Crazy stuff. Meanwhile, back to contact info. If you want to email us your cartoon suggestions or just be like, oh, man, I totally remember the show, but I don't know the name of it, whatever. Whatever you want. Or just to say hi. You know, be cool. Email us at SaturdayMorningCartoons@gmail.com. We are also on iTunes and Stitcher. So if you want to get your weekly dose of Saturday Morning Cartoons, you can find us on either podcast hosting place. That's pretty much all I got for this time around. It's been pepperant. It's been a nice hour. I guess we're going to Eon Flux it up next week. We all cool with that?
I am so excited. I actually own the complete series of Eon Flux.
Sweet. So Sean is going to upload all those episodes to YouTube for everyone to watch. He's got nothing.
Get ready to BitTorrent.
Good times. Wait, are we watching the movie too? Are we watching the movie too? No. Live action movie? Charlize Theron? No, I was like, come on, I'm not making this up.
I've watched that.
Well, I haven't seen it. I have not seen it, and I will not see it.
It is interesting. I will say that.
Real bad. Oh, boy. Okay. Eon Flux next time.
That is not a ringing endorsement, but I will say it is interesting.
This is going to be an interesting week. Very interesting couple of weeks. But that's it for us on this episode. So we will see you next time on Saturday Morning Cartoons. Thanks for listening.
Take us out, Sean.
Dave, Baron, we run!